أنفسنا آمين رب العالمين. Respected elders, brothers and sisters, dear guests of the house of Allah, dear young students, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal in the few minutes that we have here that He inspire us with the most important and relevant details of the beautiful names of His. And then we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to call out to Him using these names. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us all to spiritually benefit from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allow us to find the secrets of that and allow our lives to be much more enriched through the barakah of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal allow our coming here today, this morning, and the sacrifice we have to come here. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He not allow us to leave this gathering but in a state that our sins have been forgiven, have been replaced with good deeds, and that we leave in a state far more closer to Allah Azza wa Jal than when we entered His house. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that whatever issues and problems in our own lives we're going through, that we are inspired to find answers through the barakah of this discussion on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. So from amongst the two names, as Mawlana mentioned here, is that Al-Latif, Al-Khabir, that we'll briefly, inshallah, speak about. The word Al-Latif, name from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this has been mentioned in seven different verses of the Qur'an. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Mulk, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know who He created? Doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know who He created? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is very subtle, Al-Khabir, He's all-knowing. Very powerful ayah, that who else could know the human being better than Allah? Allah is the one who created you. You know, a person, a father, mother, teacher says, I've raised you, I've given birth to you, I've seen you since you're in diapers. You think I don't know you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created you. How could you think that I don't know your needs? How do you think that I don't know what your desires are and that I put you in a situation where you are not able to handle that? Not possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our strengths. Allah knows our weaknesses. Allah knows what we can handle. Allah knows what we cannot handle. When a person says, I'm in a situation in which I cannot handle, this is too much for me, this is not acceptable, then in reality a person is complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know, you know, how much something can handle. An engineer who has designed something, he has designed something to be able to withstand. He has been there from A to Z designing something that can withstand, say, 1,000 pounds. And so now when he gives it to you and he says, here, I'm the engineer actually who designed it, but here, I happen to be at sales today, just walking into the store to see how my things are going, and take it, use it. And now you're sitting there questioning him, are you sure this guy got something that's 950 pounds, or I got something that's 800 pounds, I can handle it. You go back and forth. Imagine how they answer the engineer, that I actually have designed this thing, I've been working on it for 3 years. Well, how dare you sit there questioning me? What is your background in this in the first place? You've just come here to the store to purchase something, and now you're going back and forth with me on this. Allah Azza wa Jal is as though He's saying to a human being that every aspect of yours is absolutely 100% in my knowledge, and I'm the one who created you, and hence I know what you can, what you can't do, what you are involved in, what you have the potential. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And Allah Azza wa Jal is all subtle. So another example is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks people to stay away from those things that lead to sin, it is important for a person not to ignore those things and say that I'm strong, I'm very pious, I'm righteous, I can handle this. There's a reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to stay away. For example, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. Don't even come close to any and all forms of fornication. Indeed, this is something lewd and it's a horrible path. So anything that leads to haram, we're supposed to stay away from that as well. Even though it may not be haram, forbidden itself. But if it opens up the doors for haram, we've been asked to stay away from it. So again, this is part of Allah's knowledge of us, that He has asked us to stay away from certain things. And a person should simply submit to that, instead of thinking that, no, I'm actually very pure and very clean, and I would never fall into, you know, temptations. This is a mistake on a human being, to think he or she cannot be tempted. Anyone and all of us are weak, and if we are put into the right situation or wrong situation, however you want to look at it, we will slip, we will fall, you know, and we will not be able to withstand the pressure. So Allah Azza wa Jalla uses both names here, Al-Latif Al-Khabir, in this ayah of Surah Al-Mulk. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah says, وَاذْكُرْنَا مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. when discussing the affairs of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how men, when they go to inquire and ask questions from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they should ask them from behind the curtain, should ask them from behind the veil. And when the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond, they should respond not in any type of extra feminine way, obviously not seductive, they would never do that, but not even in a naturally sounding feminine manner, but they rather they should make their voices, you know, more manly, if I can call it that, make it hoarse voice when addressing the men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that discussion over there, because he says that there is a chance that those people who have a sickness in their heart, then there may actually begin to have bad thoughts about you. And you are their mothers, you are the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can only be a sick person to have such thoughts. But nonetheless, there are, we don't know who's sick, and you don't know who's not sick. Anyone from anywhere can be sick. That's why you have to take on your precaution. You have to take on your precaution. So in that discussion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then in ayah 34 says, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَىٰ, O wives of the Prophet, remember that which has been recited in your houses from the verses of Allah. Because the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, their homes are the place where wahi descends. Right? Imagine that. Their house is where wahi descends. When we read Surah Al-Baqarah at home, or we do some dhikr at home, we feel so nice. Alhamdulillah. The environment at home is so nice. Right? MashaAllah, all that fighting, these things going, stopped. There's so much khair. We see nur of the Quran. Imagine your houses in which the revelation is actually happening. Right? I mean, the intensity of that home in which your husband is actually, while at your home, receiving direct revelation from Allah. Jibreel Amin is coming to your house. So Allah tells them that read that which has been recited in your homes, min ayatillah, from the verses of Allah, wal hikmah, and wisdom. Inna Allah kana latifan khabira. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very subtle and all-knowing. These two words come together. In ayah 100 of Surah Yusuf, Allah says, Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha, innahu huwal alimul hakim. This is towards the end of the story of Yusuf. He says, indeed my Lord, latifun lima yasha, he is absolutely, again, very subtle over that which he wishes to do. Innahu huwal alimul hakim. Indeed he is very knowledgeable, al-alim, al-hakim, very wise. This is towards the end. It is so powerful. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to make Yusuf alayhi salam the king of Egypt, and wanted to change all the destiny of the people of Egypt and the destiny of the people of Banu Israel through Yusuf alayhi salam. But look at how this story starts. The story starts with this young boy, not the eldest, the young one, who, being young already, you're an underdog. You are yani under pressure of all the ones who are elder than you. On top of that, doesn't help that you have all stepbrothers. And then from there, he goes from that situation inside to where? Inside a well. I mean, game over, you think. But then you think, what could be worse than that? Then he gets sold into slavery. What could get worse than that? That you go into the governor's mansion. Okay, that's a little bit better than normal slavery. But then, and you're learning how the king works and the governor works and governorship works and so forth. But then you get accused. And accusations, honestly, are huge. They just destroy a person. So sometimes you think, and there are different types of accusation. One is someone stealing something. One is, you know, someone is not fulfilling his responsibilities. One is accusation with the female, and that also the wife of the governor. How could it get worse than this? So now you can think for sure he's going to be, yani, killed. So maybe something like worse than killing, he's thrown into the dungeon and locked up away. He said, now definitely this can't, nothing in his life can get worse than this. And subhanAllah, how could it ever change? But years after years come, and people come and try to seek help. And we all know the story. The interpretations, the people come to ask interpretation of the dream. He gives an interpretation. He thinks, this guy is going to get me out. He says, please, udhkurni inda rabbik, please mention my name by your Lord, by the Master. Hopefully he'll get me out of this place. And what happens? فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّي. Shaitan made him forget to mention Yusuf in front of the master, in front of the king. He stayed back in the dungeon, in the prison, for many more years. Now, if all of a sudden, what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the situation such that now the king himself is in need. This is latif right here, right? That Allah azza wa jal could have just allowed Yusuf alayhi salam to grow in his dad's home, and learn from his dad, be an apprentice, get leadership training under his dad, right? His dad could take him out from the young age, hold his hand, walk him around, teach him, son, you do this, you do this, do this, do this, do this. And eventually when he reaches the age of 40 or more, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opens up the, you know, wahi for him, and he grows under his father. That's like normal. And then after that, alhamdulillah, son, I'm old now, I'm dying, you take over. All right, khalas. That's how you think normal things work. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him go through a roller coaster and a half, and made his every life, every portion of life seems like more worse and more difficult than the previous one. And then the lift off, just like a roller coaster, that you just go up all of a sudden, right? Or go down all of a sudden. You know what's going on? This is latif. That when Allah Azza wa Jalla got a plan to do something, he does it in such a quick but subtle manner that no one can even figure out what's going on. And you figure out when what? You're face to face with who? The same person you threw in the well 40 years ago, he's looking at you. And he's sitting on the throne. He says, how can I help you? He's a anta Yusuf? Are you Yusuf? This is latifu lima yasha. Right? Allah Azza wa Jalla did something in such a miraculous manner, it would have never crossed your mind once. You would have thought about 100 people, man. That's why they didn't say inna Yusuf. They said, innaka la anta Yusuf. Are you like Yusuf? Is it like such that it looks like it? I don't know what to say. I mean, what could you possibly be doing on the throne over here? This is latif. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. And I think about in your own lives, just think of all of our lives, how so many things happen. Many times you want something to happen and you're like, wait, how come the doors are closing? It's not happening. Brother, you're not dealing with a normal human being. You're dealing with not a human being. You're dealing with Allah who's latif. How he's going to pull this off, you don't know. Until the last second, you're not going to know what's going to happen. And then when it happens, you're going to say that, honestly, no one in the world would have thought that this could have happened. Exactly. Good or bad, or yani ease or comfort, however it may be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way he has a plan. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our ustad Mawlana Shabir Damat Barakatuh, when he's teaching us tafsir of Surah Yusuf, he would say this one ayah is a khulasa of the whole beautiful, powerful story of Yusuf, which is, Wallahu ghalibun ala amri, walakin akthar nasi la ya'lamun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful over his affairs, but majority of people don't realize. Meaning what Allah wants to do, he will make it happen. The entire world, humans, jinn, angels put together, cannot stop that. But how, you most people don't understand. Most of us do not trust Allah that he will actually pull it off. What's happening in Syria right now? You just heard Mawlana made dua for Sham. It's like miraculous. What's happening? And have you all been watching the news? All right? Spend some time today maybe just looking at what's happening. SubhanAllah, the videos coming out of Syria. It's amazing. Something of massive levels of unprecedented torture of and zulm that has happened in the past 2011 till now, and of course from the past 30, 40 years in the various regimes over there. How Allah Azza wa Jalla is I don't even know how this is going to play out. But they're just, the Sunnis, yani Mujahideen, are just walking in, taking city upon city, taking upon city, literally like walk in the park. If you look at the videos, just walk in the park. Everyone's running away. And you can see, I saw a video of these women and children. Yani, it's freezing. I went in Syria in 2005. I was there in March. I was one of the coldest times, yani the most cold I've ever seen. Because there is no yani central heat like this. There's no insulation like this. There's no, you know, carpet and all these things, type of things. It was so, so cold. Allahu Akbar. I've never been in that type of cold before. So right now, this is December, it's freezing there. So you see these women and children packing up, putting their things and running, you know? And the Muslim Sunni Mujahideen are coming in and begging them, saying, where are you going, mother? Where are you going? Why are you putting your kids? And they're like, no, we're going to get all killed. We're just going to run. They're like, no, we're not here to kill you. We're here to save you. Don't you see us? We'll give our life defending you. Where are you going? Please stay, please stay. It was such a powerful yani expression and dialogue between these Mujahideen and the normal innocent women and children over there. And at the same time, you also see the type of zulm. I saw a Hifz madrasa, a Hifz boarding school that had was bombed, and you could see masahif, blood on it, little children's shoes, slippers, blankets, beds, every single kid there killed, right? Hifz boarding school. But subhanAllah, the forces of the government, the Shi'i forces there, completely, you know, made everyone shaheed. So they're walking through there, looking at up all these things. Now what is, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant them all victory, and to end the oppression in everywhere in Syria and wherever else may be. But this is an example of latif as well. How Allah Azza wa Jalla is making this happen is something that just shocks us, right? The world is just watching one after the other, and we pray Allah Azza wa Jalla grants them complete victory and freeze Bilad al-Sham, all of it, right? So this is what in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, inna rabbi latifun lima yasha, indeed my Lord is latif, he is absolutely subtle in the way he does things, lima yasha, for whatever he wants to do. Innahu al-alimun hakim, he is all knowing, he knows about the future, who is needs to be positioned where to be able to get this decision made. Al-hakim, all wise. In Surah Ash-Shura, ayah number 19, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is latif, is very kind with his servants. He provides sustenance to whomsoever he wishes, wa huwa al-qawi, and is all powerful, al-aziz, cannot be overrun, cannot be subdued. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about his lutf with his servants in rizq. Yarzuqu man yasha, provides rizq to whomsoever he wishes. My brothers and sisters, the amount of rizq that Allah has given us, this is part of lutf. Sometimes a person is running door to door, begging for a better job, better resources, more savings, and he doesn't seem like he can ever get it. But what we don't understand is that, don't stop making dua, by the way. Don't stop knocking doors and trying to get a resume or trying to get an upgrade or there's nothing wrong with that, which we have to do. But what we don't know is if this need were to be get fulfilled, if Allah were to give us a promotion, if Allah were to give us a lot more wealth, would we be sitting here in the cold in the masjid right now? Alhamdulillah, it's not cold in the masjid, but I mean in the cold outside coming to the masjid. We don't know. Many times when you see people who are not able to come to the house of Allah, not able to do many works of deen, what is one of the biggest obstacles? It is either the abundance of wealth that they are wondering how to enjoy it and spend it, or the craving desire to gain abundance of wealth. It's one of the two. Either it's they're already floating in money and they're just trying to think how they can enjoy it more, so we have no time for deen, or they are running after the how can we gain more, and so they have no time for deen. So sometimes a person gets it, and some person doesn't get it, but doesn't realize that this is Allah being kind to me, that he is not giving it to me. Because if I were to get it, I wouldn't be able to handle it. On the other hand, sometimes a person says, no, I want a simple life. I'm a simple person. I don't want a lot of money. But then that simple little business just takes off. He says, Ya Allah, I never had a desire to become materialist. I never had a desire to have all this money. What is going on? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is latif. Allah azza wa jal has a plan for you. This money is not for you to eat. He has given you this desire to help people, and you are Allah's distributor. You are Allah's wholesaler. You are the regional divider, distributor of this. Allah is sending these blessings to you so that you may spread it. It comes in one hadith that there are certain individuals that Allah chooses to spread the khair or spread wealth amongst the people. And when those individuals decide to hold back and not spread it, Allah Azza wa Jal then takes that wealth away from them and gives it to someone else. So sometimes Allah chooses a person, or rather desires for a person to get that reward of yani spreading. I went recently to see the work Ikna Relief is doing. This week I went to go see right here down the street their transitional housing, the food pantry, their offices right in front of MSI. It was a very very nice quick 1.5 hour I spent with the staff and seeing what they're doing. And you see the needs of the community and so forth. Honestly, at the thought that came to me at that time when I saw it, and the dua I make for myself and I made for you now, is that you know when you have a water meter at your home, you have a water meter, we all have water meters, electric meters, whatnot. What happens? That water meter measures how much water is coming out of your taps. That water is not coming out of your house. The water doesn't come out of the foundation of your home. It doesn't come out of your tap. It's coming from somewhere else. All that meter does, it measures how much water is coming out. And then the company, water company, or gas company, or electric company will send you the bill. All of us are like that faucet. All of us are like that conduit. That we do not have the means to provide electricity, nor water, nor gas, nothing. Only thing is, if Allah wills, gas, electricity, water, or rather in this case, blessings and kindness and goodness and help for others will flow through us. And there is a meter by that. And at the end of the day, we can give our bill to Allah. And if we had ikhlas, Allah will give us in full. Right? If it's 1 million units that went through us, inshallah, we'll get the reward for 1 million units. If it's 100,000 units, we'll get the reward for 100,000 units. You don't have to do anything. Actually, you can't do anything. You and I are just conduits. We just simply have to ask Allah, Ya Allah, Allah maj'alni miftahan lil-khayr wa mighlaqan lil-shar. Ya Allah, make me a key for goodness and a lock for evil. Make me a means of helping people. Make me a means of bringing a smile to people's faces. Make me a means of removing the distress of those who are distressed. Make me the means of alleviating the difficulties of the people. That dua we make, and present yourself in the right situation. Ready, Ya Allah, I'm ready. Whatever, today we have a clothing drive with Helping Hand. Right, you can come, bring your clothes from home. Right, nice clean clothes, packed clothes, new clothes, whatever they may be. Ask our wives, right, all the extra clothing. They want to get spring shopping, Ramadan shopping is coming. Right, so before that, empty the closet. Empty the closet before we go at new things. Be your thobes, be it nice expensive dresses. Those dresses that our sisters sometimes wear once and never wear again. Honestly, you could, it's fit for a bride who cannot afford. How many thousands of women would never be able to afford one of the 50 dresses that women of our home own? Subhanallah. So this is something you could say that I'm going to give this simple, small, humble thing to them. Bring it today between 11 and 3. I'm going to pack it in a Ziploc bag or a plastic bag or whatever. Present it. And you make niyyah, Ya Allah, tomorrow, in the next 6 months, some Palestinian or Jordanian or Syrian or Pakistani or Kashmiri girl is going to get married through this. Or a groom is going to get married. And this is my hadiyah. What have you and I have done? You, the same clothes that Allah gave you, you're just passing it on. And because Allah has given you hundreds of dollars to purchase more clothes. No one's saying don't purchase it, but give first. Give before you purchase more. This is what we talk about, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us rizq. It's out of His lutf that He's given us what He has given us. Out of His kindness. And we have to simply use that in the most appropriate manner, and we will get reward for it. The meter is running. How can you assist and help people is the key thing. وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزِ. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is most strong. Al-Aziz. الَّذِي لَا يُغْلَبْ. He cannot be overtaken. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one day he mentioned, لَتُخْبِرُنَّنِي أَوْ لَيُخْبِرُنَّ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. In the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, he says, you're going to inform me of who did this, who said this, or else the most kind, most subtle, and most knowledgeable will inform me. So this is, you see, another place where Latif and Al-Khabir has been mentioned together. We understand Latif and Al-Khabir, both of them are Sifat Mushabba. And these are words in which, see, this ism fa'il, the doer, the noun for a doer, which means he sometimes does, sometimes doesn't. But when you have a word that's on the scale of Latif and Khabir, Fa'il, it means someone who has that all the time. There's never a moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being Latif with us. There's never a moment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not fully aware of what we are doing, what we will do, and so forth. Allah Azza wa Jal, part of the meanings of Al-Latif is extremely soft, kind. And this is where we see Aisha radiallahu anha. She says that when the story of Ifk happened, when she was falsely accused by the munafiqun, and the environment of Medina became extremely hostile towards her, Nabi sallallahu, she said, I didn't know what's happening. I had no idea that the entire city, astaghfirullah, is accusing me, or a big chunk of the city is accusing me of something horrendous for any lady, and beyond horrendous for the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then she mentions, the only thing I noticed is that the lutf that I used to see from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I wasn't seeing. Meaning the genuine kindness that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the warmth, the softness that he usually had with me, I wasn't seeing that. And so that's where we understand the word latif as well. That it's that gentleness, that kindness that a person is supposed to have. And number two, we understand that it is not a badge of honor to say when I walk into the house, oh boy, there's order in the court. Everyone runs. Everyone's scared. Everything stops. That's not a badge of honor. That is actually a badge of dishonor. Instead, a badge of honor is that when a person enters the home or enters wherever, that there's this genuine excitement that mashallah, you're back at home. So this is the lutf that Rasulullah ﷺ had with his family. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the best from amongst you is the one who treats his family the best, and I am the one who treats my family the best. So this is a very important aspect for men and women both, that being harsh is not a good attribute, but rather being latif is something that we should all aspire to have within ourselves. And Al-Khabir, as we see is mentioned side by side with it, is someone who is not, doesn't, al-alim means also knowledgeable, but al-khabir means the one who has deep knowledge of whatever it is, deep, not just normal knowledge, knowledge of every aspect of it, and then also treats it, addresses the issue at hand. And this is the attribute of the khabir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have, of course, yani, very few minutes, so we just very quickly basically translated it and didn't even do justice to translating it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brings within us the sifat of lutf, that He makes us from amongst those people who are kind with one another. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma al-tuf bina, Allahumma al-tuf bina, one of the dua, fi taysiri kulli asir. Oh Allah, be kind to us in facilitating and making every difficulty easy for us. Right? And do it in a subtle manner. Do it in a subtle manner so that the enemy doesn't see it. The enemy doesn't recognize that you are now going up. Make it happen so quickly, so subtly, that we are protected from the jealousy of those who harbor jealousy, from the hatred of those who harbor hatred, and from the plotting and planning of the evildoers. Ameen, Rabbil Alameen. Again, as Mawlana mentioned, that the family has requested dua for their deceased one. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our host's aunt, who passed away yesterday or Thursday night or Friday morning. We ask Allah, uncle, who passed away yesterday, and Muhammad Abdul Malik, brother Muhammad Abdul Malik, may Allah forgive him, and make dua for the host is requesting that we make dua for all of us and their children to become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become men and women of taqwa, allow them to overcome any and all internal personal difficulties. We ask Allah azza wa jal to increase the muhabba and love between husbands and wives, that of those of our host and all of us as well. May Allah put barakah in our rizq and health as well. Huh? And then inshallah we are blessed to have a mahram mastura jamaat, brothers from Malaysia who are here with their families, with their wives. Mashallah, they're staying here at Darul Salam. The men are staying here, and the women are staying where today? Yeah, brother Muhammad Yaqub Saab from Addison. Mashallah, he's there in the back. Alhamdulillah. So you can get the address. They'll have programs 11 to 1 and 5 to 7 today. And then tomorrow, right across the street, alhamdulillah, they'll be staying at our my father's house and our house right across the street. So we request the encourage the brothers to bring the women of the family, inshallah, again from Sunday and Monday, 11 to 1 and 5 to 7, right across the street. You can attend the program in the masjid here. And the women of the house can, inshallah, on Valley View. 21W371 Valley View. It's the third house on the right-hand side. Inshallah, you can bring the women folk over there. And hopefully Allah Azza wa Jal accepts their coming all the way from there and make it a means of khair and barakah for all of us. Subhanallah wa hamdihi, subhanak Allahumma wa hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allahumma tassalamu alayka salamu wa barakatuhu ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma lakal hamdu kullu wa lakal shukru kullu. Allahumma fi lihayina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaimina وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا. اللهم من احييته منا فحي على الاسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفاه على الايمان. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم واعف عنهم وادخلهم الجنه ونقهم من الذنوب كما ينقى الثوب الابيض من الدنس. اللهم اجعل قبرهم روضه من رياض الجنه ولا تجعل حفره من حفر النار. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا المتقين اماما. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا المتقين اماما. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا المتقين اماما. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. امين. Please, inshallah, brothers, as you know, 7:40, the Hifz class starts. We need to be, inshallah, as efficient as possible. Don't forget your du'as in the efficiency as you go downstairs for breakfast. And pray your Ishraq Salah immediately after your breakfast. You can come back here and pray your Ishraq Salah upstairs. Jazakumullah khairan.